Okay, well, here we are again. This is session number 39 in volume 6. And we're thinking on grace endued. And the scripture for this is Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now, this is the story of the angel announcing, Angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she is going to have the Christ child. Now, we've been talking about grace, and understand it was grace that allowed her to have the Christ child. And as I've been saying, when God blesses mankind, it is an act of grace, and she was certainly blessed in this situation. Grace, when applied to the believer, reaches far beyond the common grace experienced by all people. And the common graces, of course, as you know, would be the rain falls and the sunshine and the earth turns and this sort of thing. And there's Mary, and the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary. And it was for a purpose. And it was a divine purpose. Now, some of you may remember, but just to refresh your memories, I want you to remember that sometimes it is very important when you're in the scriptures, and it can be very informative, to look up the meanings of the names of the people and the places where to whom and where events occur, because that can give you an additional insight and actually an additional witness to what is happening there. So the angel Gabriel appeared. Now, Gabriel means man of God. And he spoke to Mary. And this is the thing that surprises most people. Do you know the name Mary means rebellion? And I've always thought it was very significant that out of rebellion came the Christ child. There's a lot of spiritual significance there if you think about that. And that the announcement was made by an angel whose name means man of God. Now, what I'm going to do in this session is I'm going to stick very closely to the scriptures from the Amplified Bible. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Amplified Bible, it puts into brackets words and everything to help you understand some of the original meanings in the original Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic that a book in the scriptures or any part of the scriptures might happen to have been written in. So in verse 26 there it says, now in the sixth month. Now I'm going to stop there. Remember, six is the number of man. And so in the sixth month, it's also, by the way, not only the number of man, but the number of the beast and satanic. So the in the sixth month, now the sixth month that it's talking about there is the sixth month of actually the pregnancy of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. Now I'll get into the meaning of her name here in just a little bit. So in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee. Now the word Galilee means circle. And the town in Galilee was named Nazareth. Now Nazareth means separated. So you understand there's a messenger, because that's what an angel is, a messenger from God whose name means man of God, who appears to a woman named Mary whose name means rebellion. In the sixth month, the number of man, to tell her she's going to have a man child. In the middle of this circle, because God encircles or encamps around his people. And they're in a town named Separated, because what is happening here is this Christ child, which is being implanted in the womb of Mary, is going to do away with the separation between God and man. Now, isn't that interesting when you look at the names of the people involved here? Just no farther than we've gone. It says, to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph. And Joseph's name means increase. So this Christ child, this Savior, who is going to come out of rebellion, out of Mary, is going to be a man child, is going to increase the number of people in fellowship with God. I just think that's interesting. Very interesting. And Joseph is a descendant of the house of David. Now, David means well-beloved, so he's going to increase the well-beloved out of separation, out of rebellion. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one," and the Greek there would say endued with grace. The favored one is endued with grace. She is filled with grace, with the grace of God. "The Lord is with you. Blessed," in other words, favored of God, "are you before all other women." Now, God may not be a respecter of persons, but he is an empowerer and an expecter of persons. He has certain persons he expects certain things from. As a matter of fact, he expects certain things from each person. That is not respecting somebody as far as whether or not somebody can be in fellowship with him, saved, not saved. That's not what we're talking about here. But she was favored to have the Christ child. Now, when God speaks, things happen. But when she saw him being the angel, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused. Have you ever encountered God and felt greatly troubled, disturbed, and confused? Because God just gets in your face, gets in your way, completely changes everything you think is going to happen, and he's God. You see? So it's not unusual that Mary's response should be greatly troubled, disturbed, and confused. That's what happens, I think, many, many times. Moses was greatly troubled, disturbed, and confused when he saw this burning bush that was not consumed, and then heard the word of God, the voice of God coming out of it. When you encounter God, do not be surprised if you are greatly troubled, disturbed, and confused. I cannot tell you how many people over the years I've heard say, "Well, now I don't know if it was really God speaking to me, and how would I know if it was really God? I think I heard the voice of God, but I'm not really sure I heard the voice of God." What, you know, and they just kind of go churn in that and churn in that, sometimes for years. When all we have to do is go to God and say, "Hey, clarify." Isn't that what Moses did? Didn't he say yes, but yes? And then you have the same thing with Gideon. The angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. He's going, but not me. I am the biggest wimp of the wimpiest tribe in the whole bunch. Not me. And God, of course, is always letting us know that it is in our weakness that his greatness and his glory is shown. So if you're the weak wimp, you are just the person. You are just the one. You are just the one God's looking to use. He wants to use you. So, this is interesting. I love this phraseology. It says, she was greatly troubled, disturbed, and confused. Now listen to this. At what he said, and kept revolving it in her mind, what such a greeting might mean. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had things revolve in your mind over and over, and over, and over? You see, have you ever found that that really doesn't solve anything? All it does is prolong the agony. It doesn't bring any answers. And the angel said to her, I love this, what the angels say when they encounter people, do not be afraid. What's the first thing that happens? Oh, God's going to do something, change my life. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen next? How's it going to be? I am just so confused, disturbed. I'm upset. And what's God say? Don't be afraid. What's he tell his angel to say? Tell him, don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace. Now, the word grace here is used from the original, means free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. Free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. Whoa! Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's a little bit like somebody showing up at your door and saying, "Hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you." That might cause a person to be greatly troubled, distressed, and confused. You see? And the angel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor, and loving kindness with God." And then it's, and listen. See, this is what happens. If we get so tied up in this little churning ball of what's going to happen, we're not listening. And the scripture there in verse 31 says, and listen. Now, in your bulletins, you will notice that I have underlined every word in this section that has anything to do with a person's will. And we talked about this a few sessions ago. We don't understand the word will very well. Because the word will means exactly that. It is what we will. But I want you to listen. This is the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, speaking to Mary. He does not leave anything unsaid or to doubt. He said, you will become pregnant. Now, I don't know how fast he talked, but if he paused right there just the way I did, I can hear her going, now, what are people going to say? How am I going to take care of this? Oh, my, will I have to go live with somebody in another city and pretend like I was taking care of a sick aunt for 2 years or something, and then I can come back? See, there would have been time to think about that. You will become pregnant, and then he says, and will give birth to a son. Whoa. There's no ultrasound or anything involved here, is there? You see? God told her, it's going to be a boy. It's going to be a boy. Can you hear her going, if he paused right there going, oh yeah? Well, just how do you know? You prove this. Can you just hear it? Instead of just listening, getting the old mind rotating around, involved there. But just listen. He says, and listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and will be, notice all these wills, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. Now what does Jacob mean? Jacob, the name Jacob means supplanter. Well, What did Satan do when he stole man's birthright in the garden? Actually, he didn't steal it. He conned man out of it. Man just gave it to him. Gave him dominion over the earth. But he says now that Jesus will provide dominion over the supplanter. Throughout the ages. You see, we're not victims anymore as believers in Jesus Christ. We are not victims anymore. Because Jesus took it back for us and gave it back to us. And of his reign there will be no end. Did you ever have a bunch of good things happen to you and then go, well, I wonder how soon this is going to change? Huh? Things are going too good now. Did you ever hear anybody say that? Things are just going too good now. It's got to stop sometime soon. What does the scripture say? Live your life with a biblical worldview. What does the word of God say? It says, his reign there will be no end. No end. So we don't have to ask when it's going to end. There is no end. We have the answer to that question. But that's why we have to be in the Word. Oh, I love the Christmas story. I love everything about the Christmas story. But we get so involved in getting to the baby in the manger, sometimes we miss the information that helps us really understand the baby in the manger. And to understand that God the Father did not send Jesus into the manger to stop there. You see, that's the beginning. Everybody loves the manger part. Everybody loves a little baby. But the real story is that he died on the cross and rose again. Well, what got the disciples in all the trouble? The resurrection story. Oh, you could say he was born in a manger, and you can say he died on a cross, but you can't say that he rose from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, that makes him different than everybody else, doesn't it? You see? Oh, they can say Mary really lied, and this wasn't God's child, that this was some man, maybe Joseph, whatever. You know, all these things they can say. But see, it's that resurrection story that everybody gets all upset about. The story where not only Jesus came out of the tomb, but all those hundreds of other men came out of the tomb, restored to their families, and walked around Jerusalem. Now, you don't hear everybody talking about that. Matthew tells us about it, but you don't hear people talking about that. You see, but they love the little baby story. Now, I'm thrilled that they love the little baby story, and let me tell you why I'm thrilled. Well, some of you people listening to me say, oh, I don't like this Christmas time because I run up all these big bills, and then, boy, the pain hits the first of the year, and I got to pay all this stuff off and everything. Well, let me give you a little different view of that. I'm not saying you ought to be going out there and being foolish with your resources, your money. But I'll tell you something. I used to get really upset over the commercialization of Christmas. Oh, I mean, I was one of the biggest loudmouths about it you can imagine. And then one day the Lord spoke to me while I was shaving, of course, and I had to change my tune. He said, every place the name of Jesus Christ goes, people are blessed. Do you understand that there are poor people in China who could not have fed their children, but for the name of Jesus, they are employed all year making all kinds of little Christmas trinkets and Christmas toys and Christmas gifts and all of this, all around the world, not just in China. And their life is better. Why? Because Jesus was born. Every place the name of Jesus goes, people are better off. Even those who aren't believers, who may be sitting there making some kind of clothing or whatever that will one day become a Christmas gift, are blessed because Jesus was born. Because the angel came and told Mary, you're going to have this baby. Well, now I couldn't get that upset about it. And I can get upset over foolishness and people spending more money than they ought to and everything, but I'll tell you what, you can't spend that money without somebody being blessed. I don't know if you ever realized it or not. You cannot spend one dime without somebody else being blessed. It's impossible. I hear people talking about people, oh, nobody needs a Rolls Royce. Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I sat down one time and figured out that if you're going to pay, this is back when a Rolls Royce was $150,000, that over the course of your lifetime, if you bought one Rolls Royce, you would probably spend less money on a car than if you bought a car every 2-3 years. That was back when people were buying new cars every 2-3 years. But what they didn't think about was the people who ship the car, the people who make the tires, the people who fell the trees in Germany in the Black Forest so they can have the wood to put on the dashboard and on the insides of the doors, and the people who make the engines and the people. You see, you cannot, even if people think you're wasting money, you cannot spend one dime without someone being blessed by it. Now, does that mean I think that every dime that is spent is worthwhile to spend it that way? No. But someone will get some good out of it. Now, some of you have been in a room where I have passed a dollar bill around, or maybe a $100 bill. Depends on what I've got in my pocket at the time. And I said, okay, now you owe some person next to you, you owe them, say, $100, so they hand the $100 bill to them. And I said, okay, now you owe this person. And they'd go around, and they'd come back to me, and the last person in the line would owe me $100. So I'd have my $100 back. But if there were 10 people in the room, that $100 turned into $1,100. But it was still the same $100 bill. Because people don't understand economy. They don't understand how God works and how God blesses. You know, we got Christians running around this world thinking that the broker you are, the holier you are. Well, the broker you are, the less you can do to bring in the kingdom. As far as monetarily. I was saying to one of the people in this meeting right here just a little bit ago, we can support 32 local missionaries, indigenous missionaries in India for $2,600 a month. 32 of them. Most of them would be getting $75 a month. 100 people, $26 each a month, would support 32 pastors and all they're doing. That's amazing to me. So, I'm going to get back on this story here, but I want you to understand that God is going to reign forever and ever, and He wants us, who the Scripture says, if you're a believer, that you're a priest and a king. You know, And so evidently we agreed with being a poor priest, but we don't want to be a rich king. I never heard of a poor king. Think about it. But his kingdom will last forever. There'll be no end. How can this be? And Mary said to the angel, verse 34, how can this be? Now she gets to talk. Now she's just like Moses, and she's just like Gideon, and she's just like that little husband of who was the high priest that year in the Holy of Holies. And God says, hey, you and your wife are going to have a baby. And remember, he laughed, and he wasn't able to speak again until after John the Baptist was born. I suggest that when God speaks to you, that you watch your mouth. Just grab a hold of your tongue. If you got to stick your tongue out and grab it in your hand, don't say anything until you've thought a couple, three times. Unless you want to be silent for the next 9 months. So, Mary says, how can this be? Now, she's coming up with all of the logical reasons. How can this be since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? So how could that be? God, how could you know? I know you sent me your angel, and this angel's from you. And look at that. Here's Gabriel, you know, an archangel, here talking to me, and I'm going to tell him, hey, dude, you got to be wrong. Now, think about that for just a minute. Just think about it. You got to be wrong. You know, how can this be? Then the angel said to her, listen to this. Listen to this. If you're a believer, listen to this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Doesn't he? Notice it does not say the Holy Spirit might come upon you. And maybe there might be a little bit of power. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. Oh, well, wait a minute. Shining cloud. Didn't Moses follow a shining cloud through the wilderness? Like a shining cloud. Now, he says, it's going to overshadow you. And so, the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born to you, will be called the Son of God. Now, I don't know, maybe Mary's still back there going, but how can this be? Now, she might not have said anything, because then she might be going, whoa, the Holy Spirit is going to come on me, and the Most High is going to overshadow me. My, 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 my. And he says that this child's going to be called the Son of God. Now, I want you to hear something about an oath of God, because God has given us promises. God provides witness to what Gabriel, man of God, is telling Mary, rebellion. How many men of God, and it doesn't matter when I say man of God there, whether it's male or female, how many people of mankind of God are speaking into rebellion? And he speaks to Mary by the pregnancy of Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth means oath of God here. Gabriel foretells a son to be born to Elizabeth, thus providing adequate witness. Number two is adequate witness. Three is perfect witness. Thus providing adequate witness of the message given to her high priest husband. See, because the angel's already spoken to him. He's already been spoken to. And now we get it a second time. Then things that had not been called became reality, once called into being, from barren to fruitful by Elizabeth's pregnancy. She was barren, and now she's fruitful. See, so what's the angel do? The angel refers back to something else God's already said that's already been proven for 6 months, because Mary's cousin Elizabeth has been pregnant for 6 months. So in just 3 months, she's going to have a baby. And she's going to call his name John, and he'll be known as John the Baptist. Now then, back to the scripture here in verse 36. And listen, here we get again. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. Whoa, there we are again. No ultrasound. Has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, we all hear this scripture, but I don't know if you really recognize this is a part of the Christmas story. For with God, nothing is impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. You see, with God, all things are possible. So when God says to you, I want you to do thus and so, and you can't see how it's done, why would you need to see how it's done? What does the angel keep saying? Listen. 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 Now listen to Mary's response. Rebellion's response here is not rebellious. Then Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. Now, if we believers are the bride of Christ, we need to adopt Mary's response to Gabriel's message here. And that needs to be that we are the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to us according to what God has said. And God has said that He wants to work through us. He wants to bless us. He wants us out there in the highways and the hedges living such a life and having such a tremendous testimony in our life that it compels people to want to come into the kingdom. And the angel left her. God's word did not leave her. Only the angel left her. Now this is very important because, you see, the next day she could have been going, was that a dream? Did that really happen? Now, we know that there's going to be no denying that in a few weeks, that it really happened when movement starts in that child in her womb. But can you see that happening? That's the reason when I talk to somebody about the Lord and they pray the prayer and ask God to send, you know, through Christ, they just repent and they say, you know, come in and take control of my life. I tell them, write this down inside your Bible on a piece of paper. Put it in your purse, your wallet or something. Because in 2 or 3 days, the devil's going to come to you and say, that didn't really happen. And when he does that, I want you to remember to open up to where that is, whether it's your purse, your wallet, your Bible or whatever. And you point at the date and the hour and you say, you are a liar because right there is where it happened. It's so important to have that written down, just for that purpose. It's just to encourage you yourself. God knows it happened. The people who were with you know what happened. Now, in my instance, there wasn't anybody with me but the Holy Spirit. It is so important because then you know this was not a figment of my imagination. I'm amazed today at the number of people who think that words have no meaning. The further we get away from the Word of God, the more people think that words have no meaning. They'll just say anything to you. And then just think, well, you know, oh yeah, I just said that. But because they, and when people will say anything to you and think that words have no meaning, then whenever you say something to them, they'll think your words have no meaning. And when that happens, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of being against any kind of authority, is abroad in the land. Employees won't listen to employers. Husbands and wives won't respect or listen to one another. Children won't listen to their parents. Those who are out to enforce the law won't be listened to or paid attention to. And anarchy will reign. And that is exactly what Satan wants. He wants anarchy to reign. He wants disaster in your life. So we need, as believers, to have Mary's response. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. Let it be done to me, God, according to what you have said. Isn't that really what you said? If you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let it be done to me according to what you've said. Well, that's when you become grace endued like Mary. You become filled with the power and the glory of God and the Holy Spirit in there, which will empower you to do the very thing He's going to leave you to do and has left you here to do. Because that moment has passed doesn't mean the promise passed. Just like when the angel left Mary, she was not abandoned. Very important for you to remember. And that is my message for this session.